beautiful the name, what a beautiful name the name of Jesus is for us. And so as we gather today again on this beautiful day, sun's coming out, and the smoke is rising in the back. It's a good day to be together. So let's take a moment and pray. Father, we do gather today for the purpose of praising you, placing ourself in your hands intentionally, God, for all the good parts and aspects of our life, things that are going just as we would hope, and also for all that mess, stuff in our life that seems out of control, that is working against us and causing life to be a challenge. God, we come today recognizing that at all points in our life, in the good and the bad and all the in-betweens, that you are still our God. And that's why it is a beautiful name, that name of Jesus, that we can call on. That has revealed yourself to us, that has revealed your love to us, that has called us forth and called us your own. Works and all. God, we invite you into the midst of our hearts today as we gather together, as we begin to celebrate what you have done, celebrate what you are doing, celebrate what you are yet to do. We thank you, God, that we are not finished yet, that you have more for us, because your plans for us are bigger than most all the time that we could ever dream or imagine. And so we come today to simply place ourselves in your hands. God, we thank you for this church family that we can be a part of. And we thank you also for the hopes and the dreams that this church family can be for this community we live in. I thank you and I pray that for just for each individual who is here and the challenges that we bring with us this day into the park, that you meet us here, that we would feel you hold us and equip us and encourage us for what lies ahead. So, Lord, we come today in the midst of this community to gather and pray for it. We pray for your name to be lifted up over all this community that we live in. That the praises that we lift to you this morning here in the park would reverberate throughout this community. And not just the praises, but your love that would come down to us would begin to just eke out and get all around and through this place that we call home. We pray, God, for your continued work and your continued healing. For those who are even today in this place, who are continuing to struggle with burdens that are bigger than they, God, I pray that you would be their strength and their help. For those who are struggling even with the COVID virus, not here with us today, but all out and about, God, I pray for your continued healing, for your protection over your people as we seek to be a light to the world. So, Lord, we come. Thankful for who you are and all you've done. And we ask that you would meet us here as we give ourselves once again to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Putting this mic on a stand just for a second because I'm going to do something many of you have seen me do before. Just tell you that when I was a kid and I learned a little rhyme when I was going to school, maybe you learned this rhyme too, right? This one that goes like this. Here is the church, and here is the steeple. You open the doors, and you see all the people, right? You learned that? Yeah, you're all old. That's what I'm going to say. I don't teach that anymore. So if you know that, you're old. That's just the way it is. Yeah, that's why you didn't make the cut, Carrie. That's right. See, Mom, did you know it? You knew it. You're old. You're old, yes. Yes, she is. You know, you are young at heart. Yeah. But if your son is old... So there it goes. You know, but I say that as a rhyme for those, not so that we would continue doing that rhyme, but it seems to say that without the church, without that building is not a church, and yet here we are. No building surrounding us, no building holding us in. We are here with the sun shining and the sky just being our canopy for our praises to our God. know, it also seems to indicate that the people of God or the work of the church only gets done behind those closed doors. You have to open the doors in order to see what the church is really up to. And so while this little saying is cute and it's memorable, I want to also say that it's wrong. Because that's not at all what the church is. And today we're going to celebrate what the church is supposed to be. I'm going to try to talk about that briefly because I know the smell of the chicken is going to begin getting those in the back rows real soon. So we're going to continue on. But I've tried to make a new rhyme. And maybe you've heard it. It goes like this. Here is the church. I know, it's not very cute. It's not very memorable. It doesn't rhyme. But this is it. Here is the church. Because the church is the people of God, doing the work of God, redeemed by their Heavenly Father, called to go forth and to be the people of God. It's not about a building. It's not about a steeple. It's not about having to open doors or even having doors. It is about being the people of God as God has called us forth into this world. Anytime, anywhere, that's what we're called to be. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture today as we begin to just get our bearings about where we want to go. How is it that we can be the church? Well, first off, it's not about our thoughts or our ideas. It really is about learning to rest in God and trust Him for what He says we are to be. Then I'll talk about a couple of illustrations and then we'll call it the day. But the verse we're going to use today, and if you've got your Bibles you want to open up, if you've got your Bible app on your phone, you want to open it up, it's going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is a familiar verse for many of you. It is that folly. If you ask me, if you put one of those Facebook things up that says, what's your favorite Bible verse? Did we do that this week? Yes, we did. I didn't respond. So here it is. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How do you do that? You know, that's the first trick, isn't it? How do I learn to trust in the Lord with all my heart? Well, you know how you do it. You do it by not leaning on your own understanding. Because that's what usually gets in our way. That's what usually kind of becomes our first impediment. Yeah, the world works against us. Yeah, the enemy is out to cause us to stumble. But oftentimes we are our worst first enemy. And we often get in the way. Our own understandings, our own wants, sometimes our own just insecurities get in the way. But we're called to trust in the Lord, to lean not on our understanding. Not simply doing what feels right to us, but to allow Him, by submitting to Him, allow Him to direct the paths we take. When we were away, Laura and I, we were away, and my mom was too, we were away on vacation a couple weeks ago, and Laura and I went to church up there in the Tacoma area. And the pastor said that he actually opened up a new thought for me, and I've heard it before, but it really struck me about how the church is to be by coming to a couple of different analogies of how we might understand the church operating. First one was this. He said the church needs to see itself as a harbor. Understand what a harbor is. I know we're not seafaring people here. Maybe in Tacoma it works better, but I think you guys are smart folks, and so you probably understand this. The idea of a harbor being a safe place where healing and restoration can occur. But also not just as a harbor, but as a base. A base where people come not to stay, but to be prepared for a work or for a mission. That mission which God has created and called you forth to do. Now, which one is right? Is it a harbor or is it a base? And the honest truth is it's both. And kind of there's a continuum that we need to hold in tension as we continue on. A harbor, we need to be a harbor, a safe place where people can be real, where they can come with all of their stuff and let their guard down. Friends, we live in a world where we learn real quick, as a young age, to build up the walls, to keep others out. Places we don't want them to see, people, places we're afraid they will reject us or judge us if they see. We bring all that stuff and we hide it as if nobody can see it and think that's going to make it better, and it doesn't. We need to be a place where people can be real, where they can let their guard down, where they can learn to trust, and where in that environment God can begin to work healing. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest." That is what we as a church need to be. We need to be about those words of Jesus, that we need to be for anyone and everyone that we know and that we see. We need to say, you need to come with me to church. But that church that we invite them to better be a safe place, better be a harbor, better be able to accept the fact that they may not come in perfect as we are. I'm glad someone caught that joke. And so we better be that safe harbor. And if we're not, we're missing the point. Sometimes church becomes more just a social club of people I know and people who are like me and people I feel comfortable and I feel safe with them and they feel safe with me. But you bring another person in and all of a sudden it throws it all off. We want to get rid of them so we can feel safe again. But that's not what we're called to be. We're not called to be a country club. We're called to be a harbor. And some churches don't do that very well. When a hurting or broken people come in, they don't feel like they fit, and they know they don't fit, and so they don't come back. And many people have experienced church this way, and they are committed to not going back to church. Maybe you would invite them to come with you, and they may put you off. It's not because they don't like you. It's not because they don't need it. But it's because somewhere in their past, they've been to a place where they walked into a place that didn't feel safe, where they didn't feel fit, where they didn't feel welcomed. Instead, they felt at arm's distance, and they're afraid they will do that again. Who wants to be rejected? Can I see another raise of hands? Who wants to be rejected? Nobody wants to be rejected. And so why would they put themselves out if they've been rejected before? Why would they come? So what we need to do is just continue to create that environment of safety and pray for them that they would get to a point of healing where they can come and receive in that safe harbor that we call New Life Community Church. That would be a challenge for us because by nature we tend to look and we tend to draw lines. We tend to see things and want things to look like we think or like we do. But it's a tricky place that we need to walk. The markings of a true church will be the grace and the welcome and the hospitality. And not just for those who are already here, but for those who are able to step through those doors and receive that welcome. But we're also called to be a base. And this is where our mission is defined. And this is important because if all we are is a safe harbor where everyone comes and feels safe and they're able to just let their guard down and just stay put and take up a spot on the pew, we're missing the point. We are not called to be pew sitters. We're not called to fill our pew so that we can just get comfortable in that place. We are called for a very special purpose, and that is the mission of being the church. Here's another verse I'd like to read for you. This one comes from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." That is not just for us as a church. That is for you and me as individuals as well. I know you didn't come here today to do some Bible memorization, but we're going to work on that. I want you to repeat after me, and we're going to get this verse down pat, because this is your mission. It says that we are God's handiwork. Say that after me. We are God's handiwork.
We are God's handiwork.
In fact, I'm going to change that. Let's say, I am God's handiwork. Okay?
I am God's handiwork. I am.
Created in Christ Jesus.
Created in Christ Jesus.
To do good works.
To do good works.
Which God has prepared in advance for me to do.
Which God has prepared in advance for me to do.
Yeah, no, that was like eight words. That's a long one, okay? We'll work on that one. That's a hard one to get. But it's true. that you are God's handiwork. You are His workmanship. That you've been created, not only created in Christ Jesus, but that you've been created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. And that is to do the good works which God has already prepared for you to do. And how do we know what those things are if we are not listening to His voice and not letting Him begin to lead us? If we don't find ourselves in a place, a church which is our base, that helps prepare us and build us and equip us in order to send us back out. Yeah, we need to be a harbor where it's safe, where we can be accepted, even if we're in disrepair, where we're free to be open, where we're real, and where we find healing. But we also need to be prepared and equipped for that mission. And again, that mission sometimes is hard because all of us experience something called mission drift, where we know what we're called to do, but after a while, after time, it's easy for us to begin to lose sight of it. And we lean and we fall towards places of comfort. Maybe we run into trouble. Maybe we run into hurt. Maybe we suffer a grief. Maybe we get some disappointment or disillusionment. And all of a sudden, instead of trying to really put myself out there, I tend to just want to shrink back and say, I'll just stay in the comfort of the safe harbor. Comfort of the safe harbor is good, but it's not there for us to stay. And it's called for us, okay, now it's time to get to realign ourselves and to rearrange ourselves, God, to redefine us once again. We've been at this for 21 years, folks. Some of you, all that 21 years, we've been gathering here, we've been gathering there, and all over the place. Right now, we're making our home over there on First Street, and it's awesome, but we need to remember that we are called for a specific purpose. It's not just for us and for our comfort. We are to not lean on our own understandings or our own wants, but to be the church which God has called us to be. A church that has a beautiful mix of people. A church that has a beautiful mix of ages and age groups. A church that has a beautiful mix that represents in a bigger and broader way what it means to be family. Friends, that's not by accident. It's because that's how God has called us to be. And so when we talk about having lunch together, Jose already said it. He's absolutely right. Find somebody who maybe you don't know as well. Or maybe somebody who's here for the first time in the park. And just gather around and get to know and say, we are intended to be family because that's what God has called us. So that we can carry out the work of extending that welcome to the world around us. God has extended to us an amazing grace. Amen? A grace of His love and of His salvation to each and every one of us as individuals. God is a giver of amazing grace to us as a whole. Amen? That He called us forth 21 years ago and He continues to not only inspire and equip, but to provide everything we have need for. But God is also a God of the future, and He has a glorious plan, not just eternity, yes, eternity, but even in these next days of what this next iteration of new life is going to look like, who are the people who are going to come, be touched, be blessed, and give themselves to this work to meet the needs of the community around us. This is a beautiful thing that we're a part of. I want to encourage you today to proclaim that it is God's grace that allows this. And I want to get on board. So, while I'm going to pray, I'm going to have our worship team up front. Because as the worship team comes back to the front, I want to have them lead us as we proclaim that amazing grace. Yes, it saved a wretch like me. But it also gives me the hope to move forward and to carry His message outward as we go. Father, we thank You for these days, these moments, this time together to celebrate Your goodness. To proclaim that it has been 21 years. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to be able to stay here and to say how good You are. God, we thank You from the ups and in the downs that You are there for us. That You continue to inspire and call us forth. That we are not done yet. Praise You for that. That You have more that we have yet to see. We praise You for that. God, continue to deepen our love for You continue to deepen our love for one another. Continue to deepen our love for the world, our neighbor, so that we truly might be your church for this world. We thank you for the grace that allows us to be. And we celebrate that with you today here in the park. Bless us, God. We pray you pour out blessings on us today as we gather, as we fellowship, as we eat, as we enjoy your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.